Hello, today is Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. I'm Joe Schmidt from TC2, and this is Bane Connected. Well, last week, Avaya finally made the big announcement that it had filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and with that news rippling through the enterprise market, we at LB3 and TC2 have been fielding lots of questions from concerned clients. We decided to do this podcast to discuss the bankruptcy filing, look at what it means for Avaya, but really, most importantly, to discuss what it means for the enterprise user community. I'm joined by two of my colleagues, Kevin DeLallo, a partner at LB3, and Andrew Brown, also a partner at LB3. Andrew, you have written a very good blog post about the Avaya bankruptcy on TC2's website, and the first takeaway is that this big announcement wasn't really a surprise, was it?
No, that's right, Joe. I think for any enterprise that is an Avaya customer and has been following their travails over the last several years, this wasn't a surprise at all. They've had a very messy balance sheet for at least a decade, and rumors of a bankruptcy filing made their way into the mainstream press about 2 months ago. So the announcement was pretty well expected, and I think it was really just a formality. The real issue with Avaya is that they have a substantial debt problem, not so much a revenue problem.
So, yeah, I mean, they generate a lot of money annually, something like $900 million.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they have a decent revenue stream, a very impressive revenue stream, but it's got to service like $8 billion in debt. So the company has a real opportunity to sort of restructure itself, kind of the basic purpose behind a Chapter 11 filing. It got loaded up with a lot of debt when it went private in 2007, and then it bought Nortel in 2008 out of bankruptcy. So what happened was the economy crashed in 2008 and really hit their revenue for a period of time. They've never really quite recovered in the way that was expected when they went private. So they got this big debt load. But now that they've gone into bankruptcy, it may give them a chance to sort of restructure that. I think the issue for the enterprise customer community is that dealing with a company in bankruptcy does have its challenges, and it can be difficult. Kevin has dealt with this before. And, you know, what do you think about that, Kevin?
So I think it might be helpful to review for our listeners what happens when a provider like Avaya files a petition for reorganization under Chapter 11. The filing of the petition automatically stays any sort of judgments, collection actions, foreclosures, or contract terminations that could adversely affect the debtors, that is Avaya's bottom line. It basically allows the debtor, let's say Avaya, to remain in business if they so choose, to honor the contracts they choose to continue to honor while they try to restructure their debt. So after filing the petition for bankruptcy, just last Friday, Avaya filed what's called first day motions. And the first day motions included a request to the court for permission to continue honoring some customer obligations, including the provision of warranty and maintenance service contracts. That, in addition to the announcement that Avaya circulated to its largest customers about the bankruptcy filing, gives us hope to believe that Avaya intends to continue honoring its obligations under its, for example, software licensing and maintenance agreements. Avaya does have the option, however, of either assuming those contracts, that is, electing to continue to perform the contracts according to their terms, or to reject the contracts. If it chooses to reject the contracts, then the customer would have the option of overriding the rejection with respect to the software license only, not with respect to the maintenance obligations. So we don't anticipate that Avaya is going to reject any of its largest customers' contracts, but should it do so, those customers can still hold on to their software licenses by overriding that rejection, but they will have to make other arrangements for maintaining the software on their own. Now, I did say that the automatic stay kicked in when Avaya filed its petition for reorganization. You may know, as listeners, that a lot of commercial contracts contain clauses that say the contract is automatically terminated, or either party has the right to terminate a contract immediately if the other party should go bankrupt. Those are called ipso facto clauses, and they are not valid. When a provider files for bankruptcy, the customer cannot terminate the contract, whether for breach or for any other reason.
But termination is not really a very good solution for a customer anyway that relies on Avaya to provide its service.
It's not. It's not, and yet it's the type of reaction that a lot of large customers have immediately upon hearing that their provider is going bankrupt. The first thing they think of is, oh my God, can I get out of the contract? But when you really think about it, is that a practical option? I'll probably not.
Right. You know, what customers have been telling us, what they really want is uninterrupted service. And I think what they're concerned about is that Avaya somehow falls into big trouble and falls apart while it's in bankruptcy.
Right. Well, the whole purpose of this process is to actually make them emerge as a stronger company, less burdened by debt. So, but what the customer should do, Andrew, is to take a look at their existing contract to see what they're entitled to. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think, you know, what the kind of first step is at this point early in the bankruptcy is to go back, pull your contract off the shelf and look at what you're entitled to get from Avaya and focus in on the things that really matter to you on a service delivery perspective. You know, if you have any kind of objective measures of performance like SLAs, what kind of support you're supposed to get, what kind of contract governance allows you to manage the contract with Avaya. And those are the things that you're going to be kind of looking at very closely over the next several weeks to see that Avaya is going to be performing consistent with your expectations, particularly when there's a little bit of a cloud over that right now. You also kind of want to line up your commitment structure and what your obligations to Avaya, what those obligations look like, you know, what your minimum number of software license might be, or obligations to buy minimum amounts of equipment or seats or things like that, so that you understand what your obligations are going to be and what your flexibility is to look at other providers or other solutions. You just want to know how locked into this relationship you are if you don't already know that. And then once you do all that, you have a really good idea of what you can expect from Avaya, what your flexibility is, and you want to take the next step at that point, which is to sit down and talk with Avaya and make sure that they're lined up to talk about what their intent is with respect to providing you ongoing service.
Yeah, you know, what's needed in these types of situations is enterprise customers, they really need to be as proactive as possible with their account support. They need to call in their account team. They need to call in their leadership. They need to call in Avaya's leadership. And what we find is that in most cases, a big customer of Avaya is going to want to soothe the customer. So what you want to do is get Avaya to come in and do that in person with your leadership. And then you, as the enterprise buyer, what you want to do is convey your expectations to Avaya. And then importantly, you want to listen. You want to listen carefully because Avaya will likely tell you more than you expect about what's happening with the bankruptcy, both good and bad.
Hey, Joe, what about if a customer uses a third party to support their Avaya equipment?
See, that's a really good question because a lot of companies actually do that. So what you really need to do is nail down what your third party is doing to deal with the Avaya situation. You know, I wonder what's going to happen in the case, you know, of these agreements with third parties where if spare parts start to dry up for end-of-life equipment and legacy equipment. We don't know that that will happen any faster than it otherwise would, but it might. And if it does, ka-ching, that's an added cost to our customer.
Yeah, so what happens if you are doing a new deal or contemplating a new deal with Avaya or with another party right now? What should you do when you're dealing with Avaya?
That's a good question, Andrew. And we have several clients that are in exactly that position. Well, there are good things and bad things about dealing with a provider that has filed for bankruptcy. The good thing about it is that contracts that the provider enters into after they've filed for bankruptcy enjoy preferred status relative to contracts entered into prior to the bankruptcy filing. Moreover, if all goes as planned, Avaya will emerge from bankruptcy as a stronger company with less debt. On the flip side, if you have existing agreements with Avaya and you want to make material amendments to those agreements, those material amendments may require the approval of the trustee in bankruptcy or of the bankruptcy court, especially if you are to the extent that any amendments or any new agreements with Avaya have to do with complicated financing arrangements that could actually create additional risk for Avaya. That would absolutely require the approval of a trustee or the bankruptcy court. So the one thing that you need to keep in mind is that you need to try to remain flexible and not overcommit in terms of spend or term if you're negotiating with Avaya, because it might turn out not to be a long-term situation.
So I think it's fair to say that it can be complicated if you're going to negotiate with a company in bankruptcy. And I guess there's really no guarantee that a company is going to emerge from bankruptcy or that if they do, it's going to be in great shape.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you kind of have to hedge your bets. For example, customers of Nortel, as Andrew mentioned, when they were bought by Avaya out of bankruptcy, if you had Nortel equipment, you found yourself not having Avaya continue to maintain that equipment as much as it was interested in moving you off the Nortel platform and onto Avaya's own platform.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what we saw with most of our clients. And, you know, really, I think to reiterate what you said, Kevin, is you don't want to get locked into a relationship in exchange for some small savings or maybe to have access to some new service. I mean, you really do need to think long term. You want to build in the flexibility so that you have options and that you have, you know, the ability to consider other alternatives.
Yeah, exactly. What you're talking about is a world where Avaya isn't the supplier of your equipment and your services, right, Joe?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, what enterprises really need to do is develop a plan B that doesn't include Avaya. Now, you may not use it, but you need to think about it, especially if, say, over the next 18 months, Avaya falters and its future looks pretty grim.
Yeah, you know, the call center business of Avaya is a great example of that because a month ago, it was supposedly on the auction block as Avaya was trying to generate cash for paying off its debt. But after it filed bankruptcy, it went out of its way to say that the call center business is a core part of its strategy going forward.
Yeah, so apparently it became core strategy again when it couldn't get an agreed sales price.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the call center business is a good example because that's a big part of what many enterprises rely upon for Avaya to provide. So if that gets sold off, you don't really know much about whether the buyer's going to develop it the way your company needs it or the way that Avaya would have done it. And then you don't know what's left of Avaya. So you just have to be mindful that Avaya's commitment to continue innovating and become a technologically advanced company may change during bankruptcy and their efforts may falter because they're distracted with other stuff. I mean, we know already that the technology curve on the services that they provide and maintain is moving away from boxes and handsets anyway, and they know that, but it may not be able to stay in sync with its competition or with that technology trend as quickly because the bankruptcy might slow them down or position them in a different direction.
Yeah, you know, I really do think that enterprise customers need to sort of look at non-Avaya options, and they have to get out of this mindset or their way of thinking that they're, you know, exclusively an Avaya shop.
Yeah, we hear that all the time, but that's a big project, a big undertaking.
Well, yeah, it can be an 18-month project for most companies because you think about that, right? It requires you to do a lot of work to find out what you currently buy, figure out how you use it. Then you need to develop a business case, and you have to build a total cost of ownership model for some alternative technology like Skype for Business. After that, you have to develop a migration and a sourcing plan, and you need to think about it. Then you actually have to start the project and all that just so you have it in your back pocket, even if you decide to stay with Avaya.
Yeah, I think what, you know, certainly we've found working with our clients is that it pays off to at least explore it, get your company in the right mindset. And even if you end up not moving from Avaya because everything works out just fine as a result of this bankruptcy, the technology shift really does make it important to look at other options for the infrastructure that Avaya provides and supports now, because you kind of have to do that anyway, and you should do it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. Well, this has been a great conversation, guys, but we are out of time, but we'll definitely keep everyone up to date on what the enterprise community should know and what they should be thinking about as this develops. And if you would like to discuss your company situation with LB3 and TC2, please give us a call.